I'm going to be talking about rules this morning, because I like rules. And everybody who knows me chuckles. I know that there are plenty of people that are completely the opposite, Daniel included, which is why I choose when Daniel's not here to talk about rules, because he's jumping up and down going, what, they're just guidelines. We have many conversations between us about, you know, things like the arrows on the car park. No, they are set in stone. You will follow them. And if you don't, you are some sort of degenerate, like Daniel, who sees them as guidelines. Anyway, before I get more and more heretical, I will stop. For as long as I can remember, I have been a rule follower. I feel deeply uncomfortable when people around me don't follow the rules. I have a wonderful story. When I was quite young, I don't know exactly how old I was, probably about 7 or 8, something like that. There was an open day in the big stately home in the village where I grew up in South Cambridge. And it was like a big thing because it was a private home and it was never open. And we went along as a family. My mum and dad, my sister and myself. And we went and it was actually more of an open garden than an open house. They had a few rooms open, but mainly it was kind of come and see the garden, come and see the outside of the house. You know, they had a little tea room and all of that. That was not enough for my parents. My parents wanted to see the whole house. So they sneaked off, you know, oh, there's a door here, that might be open. And through they were, dragging myself and my sister very reluctantly behind them. And I still have this horrible feeling when I think back to that event of my parents snooping around somebody else's private house and me following behind going, I'm really not sure we're supposed to be here. I really don't think this is right. I was young. And at one point, I even refused to go any further. I remember my parents leaving me on my own in this dark corridor because I was like, I'm not going any further. This is wrong. And them going, no, I really need to see what's behind this door. So it's always been there. It's always been a part of who I am, that I am a rule follower. Even more recently, I went... a couple of weeks ago out with a group of mums from school to do a escape room. Anyone ever done an escape room? I thought I'd hate them. I really thought I'd hate it. And I actually had a brilliant time because actually you do have to follow the rules. It's quite good for someone like me. You have to. I don't know if you've ever seen a group of mums let out. If you have, or you've ever been a part of it, they kind of revert to teenagedom. As we arrived at this escape room, there were large handbags and much clinking and sloshing of the contents of these handbags. There wasn't actually anywhere that specifically said you cannot take drinks in with you to the escape room. It never actually said it, but it was definitely implied. We split into two groups. I was particularly pleased that there was one mum who was not in my group who had been doing the most clinking and sloshing because I was going to feel deeply, deeply uncomfortable about this whole arrangement. But actually, I was really trying. I had a sneaky gin and tonic in my bag. So I was really trying very hard to break the rules. But when it came to it and that booming voice came over the loudspeaker in the room saying, please do not drink next to the electrics. I was like, no, there's no way this gin and tonic's coming out of this bag. I can't not. So it's still there. There is a strong biblical basis for rules. So I claim, you know, there's something good about this. In the Old Testament, Moses gave the people 611 rules to live by. I looked it up. 611 rules to live by. And they were important for those people. Because at the fall of man in Genesis, people broke off their intimate connection with God. That was what happened at the fall of man. There had been an intimate connection between people and God, and that was how we were created to live. But at the point where Adam and Eve made a decision to go their own way rather than listen to what God was saying, they broke that intimate connection with him. And that had been there for a reason. It was about keeping them safe. It was about a lot more than that. But without that connection, people needed the rules to keep them safe. So that's what those 611 rules were about. But actually, if you read through them, you can see how each of them were there to keep people safe. There were things about, I mean, there were all sorts. Look in Leviticus, it's just full of them. There's all sorts of stuff about burning down your house if it's got mildew in it. And then it goes into the minutest details. Don't burn down your house if it's got mildew in it. We don't live under the law anymore. I'll get to that. We have pesticides now. I digress significantly. Where was I? I don't think mildew was quite the point. Yes, keeping us safe. Yes, there we go. And they were there. They were important. And if we look at Galatians, we're in the New Testament now. If we look at Galatians 3:23 and 24, and if we look at it in the Message first, this gives us a good, I think, picture of what these rules were about. It says, until the time we were mature enough to respond freely in faith to the living God, we were carefully surrounded and protected by the Mosaic law. The law was like those Greek tutors with which you are familiar, who escort children to school and protect them from danger or distraction, making sure the children will really get to the place they set out for. That's what that law was about. It was about protecting and nurturing and keeping safe and being careful with those people. Because God had a plan for them to get to a point of maturity. And that was what the rules were there for. Rules are important. And I like this message in this Message version of this scripture because it really gives that that idea of nurturing. Anyone who's a parent will know that you can't just take the rules off your children because they have to learn what is safe and what isn't. We were at the swimming pool yesterday with our kids. When I was preparing this, there was a very important rule that sprung to mind. Don't pee in the swimming pool. You know, it's important. It is. You joke about it. A little pee. What's the harm? But actually, if everyone did it, there'd be a big problem. So some rules are really, really important. And they're there still to keep us safe. But if you look in the NIV at verse 23 again, it says, before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. And that gives us a different indication of what rules can do to us, what the law can do to us. We were held in custody under the law, locked up. Rules can really constrain. Rules can lock us into an unhelpful way of thinking, an unhelpful way of living. So my talk is actually not entitled I Love the Rules, because I do believe that there are important rules, but my talk is entitled Why I Don't Want to Live by the Rules Anymore. Because this really is a journey that I've been on with God and am still on. That he knows me and he knows how uncomfortable I feel about rule breaking. But he also knows that there are rules in my life that have affected me in a really unhealthy way. And he has got me on a journey of learning how not to live by the rules anymore. And that's some of what I'm going to share with you this morning. So rules can hold us captive. Captive to a way of living that forces us to perform in a certain way. What I have done over the years is not just stick with the healthy rules, but construct a whole load of extra rules for my life about how I live that have forced me into a way of living that affects everything that I do. So, creating those rules started with good intentions. And a lot of the time, I didn't even know I was doing it. I mean, I've got hundreds of them. As I've started on this journey with God, he's pointed out so many of them and gone, why do you do that? Why is it? Let's talk about that one. Let's see where that one comes from. But a really simple one is I'm not late. I call these my thou shalt nots. So in my mind, thou shalt not be late. Everyone who knows me is nodding and smiling. Stop laughing over there, Claire. sorry? Love you too. Even when you're late. So this started with really good intentions. I believe in the importance of being on time. Because for a number of reasons, I believe that if you're late for a meeting with somebody, you're devaluing them. I believe that if you are late for an appointment, you are affecting the person you're having an appointment with, and you're affecting the other people in the future as well. All of those things are good reasons for choosing not to be late, but you're not always in control of that. I am not always in control of whether I'm on time or not. 100 million things can happen between me being where I want to be and getting there. And if I then force my life into a way that ensures that everything will line up with me being on time, I will end up being half an hour early. I will have screamed at my family on the way, probably fallen out with everybody I've had anything to do with, probably broken the law by speeding to get there, and all of these other things. And then if I still, because I can't control everything, end up being late, I then beat myself up. I fall into shame because of the effect that my behaviour might have had on other people when they probably haven't even noticed. Because in my mind, it's horrendous. But for them, it's like, oh, you were 2 minutes late. Who cares? I haven't even noticed. And then it has an effect on me where I start to judge other people by the thing by this rule that I've made for my life. So the worst thing then, I'm already feeling shame, I'm affecting those around me by trying to live up to this rule that is not really that important anyway, and then someone's late for me and I start judging them. And I look at their behaviour and I assume that the reason that they are not on time for me is because they don't care about me. If they valued me, they would be on time. That's not true. That's a lie. And God has had me on this journey with so many things. He has shown me they're not late because they don't care about you. They're late because something has happened on the way and that's beyond their control and they love you and they're here. He has shown me you are not a bad person because you were 2 minutes late for that meeting. That's not going to affect your relationship with that person. He has shown me when you beat up your family because they can't get out the door at the moment that you needed them to, you've affected your relationship with those really important people. And that's how rules have held me captive. That's just one of a million examples. Because when I choose to focus on the rules rather than on the important stuff, I am in shame, I'm in judgment, and I'm damaging my relationship with the important people in my life. And I'm not free. If we look at Galatians 3:23 again, I like this scripture. It says, if we go on, before the coming of this faith, until the faith that was to come would be revealed. This was not supposed to be, this living by the rules was never supposed to be a permanent way of living. This is not how we were designed to live. It was a safety net to keep those who were living under the law safe. We have Jesus. We were not supposed to live this way. If we look now at Ephesians 1, 7 to 10 in the NIV, they're doing very well. I kept changing versions on them over there. So well done, Chris. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Who's he? Jesus. In accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us, with all wisdom. I could just read it in my Bible. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. So, that is, a great picture of how we're supposed to live now. Because of the coming of Christ, because of the work of the cross, we're restored to our original design, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. That's how we were designed to live, in unity within ourselves, with God, with others. And that's what Jesus did. So we are now free of the law. We are free of the rules. In fact, if we look at the Message version of this scripture, go to the next bit. And not just barely free, either abundantly free. Focus on verse 7. We are not just free, not just barely free, we are abundantly free. I love that. Absolutely love that. That we're not supposed to live by some of the rules or by a new set of rules. We are supposed to live abundantly free, abundantly free, abundantly free. So I'm allowed my gin and tonic in the escape room, right? Yeah. But not near the electrics. Very good point. we're restored to our original design, and that is an intimate relationship with God. So what? We throw out all the rules? Yay! We're all anarchists. Let's do whatever we like. In what ways are we free? As I said, I like rules. But I was too contained by them. So what do I do? Do I throw them all out? Do I start being, never bothering to turn up for stuff? Do I start all the other unhealthy things that I was that I could be doing? No. But the point is not the following the rules. And this is where it gets a bit tricky. And I could at this point go into the Roman scripture that probably a lot of people think about when they think about grace. And I'll tell you what it is in case you're writing it down or in case somebody's listening, because if you want to go into this more, this is a really good scripture to dig into. It's Romans 6, verse 14. But I haven't got time to go into it in loads of detail now. But But if you look at that scripture from that verse onwards, it talks about the tension between the law and grace and how we live in that tension. But I believe the important thing is that it's not the rules themselves that are the thing that we are free of. Yes, they are the vehicle, but what we are free of, what Jesus came to sacrifice himself and his connection with God for, was to bring an end to the fear, the shame, and the judgment that the rules bring to us. That's what we are supposed to be free of. So some rules are still good. Still don't pee in the swimming pool. But if we allow the rules to master us and bind us up with fear, with shame, with judgment, we are not living in the freedom that Christ died for us to have. Jesus was asked by people about rules. He was asked, what are the most important? We've got the Ten Commandments, what's the most important? And Jesus said, love God and love people. And then we don't need any other rules. And that's the important thing about living in this freedom, that we do it the right way round. Jesus said, love God and love people. Because that's the crux of it. If we try and love people first, because, you know, you could say that every other rule is covered by love people, doesn't it? Don't pee in the pool because nobody wants to swim in your pee. You're loving people by not peeing in the pool. Don't be late because people matter and being on time for them is important. You're loving people by not being late. You could say that of all, pretty much all the rules. I'm not sure where mildew comes in, but you could say that of pretty much all the rules. They are all come down to loving people. But if we try and love people by following the rules, we will fail every time. And then we will fall back into shame. We will fall back into judgment of ourselves or of other people. And then we lose the freedom that Christ died for. That's why we do it the other way round. The first and the most important thing is love God. Where am I? Because if we love God first, when we slip up on the second and we don't love people well, we go back to God and he says, don't worry, I'll love them. I love you. And then we don't fall into shame because we know that he will take care of them and he will help us in our weakness and he loves us anyway. He values us. We are important to him. If we love God first, then we don't need to be fearful of the consequences of our mistakes. Because one of the reasons why I am a rule follower is that I am afraid of being told off, of getting something wrong, of people telling me that I am, that people rejecting me because of the mistake that I've made. But if I love God first, then when I slip up, when I make a mistake, when I get something wrong, which I inevitably will because I'm human, then he will say, it's okay. I love you. It doesn't matter. I will clean up that mess. That's all right. If we love God first, then we see others as he sees them. And that helps us to love them in the way that he would love them. Because we hear what he thinks about them. We hear how he feels about them. We hear what they need. And that helps us to love them in the way that he needs us to. But none of those things can be done without loving him. That's what Jesus came for, to give us freedom from that shame and to restore the ability to have that intimate connection with God, where we love him first and everything else comes out of that. So I still don't like being late. But if I love God first, he helps me to give my family a break when they haven't put their shoes on time. He helps me to relax a bit, to enjoy the song on the radio rather than looking at the speedo and looking at the clock and working out how I'm going to get there, you know? He goes before me and he helps the person I'm meeting to not notice if I'm late. He helps me to give myself a break over it. He speaks to me when I am late and says, it doesn't matter. It's okay, I love you, I know you're trying. And this really isn't important. And I can hear what's important if I have that intimate connection with him. It is easier to choose to live by the rules sometimes. And that's okay. When I first came back to my faith, when I was in my 20s, I was part of quite a legalistic church at the time. And when I look back on it now, I think I realize that's not the environment that I need to be in now. But at the time, it was an environment that I needed. God put me there because the way that my life had become, I needed some structure and some rules to keep myself safe while I was growing in this faith that I'd found. And if we think back to, look back, we're not going to look back at it, but it's okay. If we think back to that Galatians scripture, we're talking about the rules being there to keep us safe. For me at that point, that was a safe place to be. And I can totally understand people who say, I get what you're saying, and I like freedom, and I like the idea of freedom, but the feeling of getting there, that sounds a bit tricky. I think I'll just stick with the rules. And you know what? That is okay. You can choose that. There is no judgment. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I love that scripture. Because it means wherever you're at on your journey and whatever is going on with you, you're okay with God. But I would challenge you this morning, there is more. There is a greater level of freedom, an abundant level of freedom that you can live in by learning to live in intimate connection with God rather than in looking at the rules. Because that will help you to live a life that is full of joy and fun and strengthened relationships. And that's where the freedom is. So we're going to take communion. And as we take communion, I would encourage you to think about the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. Because in order to restore that intimate relationship that we had with God when we were designed, that's what it took. It was God's idea for Jesus to come to earth and demonstrate relationship for us. And then to go to the cross, to have to go through what he went through on the cross of being separated from God in a way that he had never been before. That sacrifice was so that we could have that intimate connection back again. So as we take communion, I would encourage you to really embrace what that sacrifice means. To think again about your connection with God. to recognize that the sacrifice of Jesus was about your connection. And then to think about how that impacts on your freedom. And to celebrate the freedom that you've got in that connection with God. So I'm going to pray. Then we're going to take communion. I think Kate's spoken to some people about coming and giving it out. So after I've prayed, if they come up and spread yourselves around, you know how it works by now. So Father, I thank you that it was your design for us to be intimately connected with you. Because in our intimate connection with you, we have everything we need to live life loving others. We have everything we need to love and value people in the way that you love and value us. Father, thank you that in your sacrifice, you did away with our need to feel shame. You did away with our need to feel judgment. You did away with our fear. And you replaced them with the freedom that comes in knowing you. And Father, we pray that you will give us a fresh revelation of that this morning as we take communion. That we will know what it is to be free. And that you will help us to grow in freedom in you. Amen.